Backtracking a little bit, the first Bill Maher of the year had Michael Moore as a guest. Michael Moore and David Dreyer, Nazi California, and some Canadian lady, I'm sorry, I don't remember your name, I don't care. So as Bill tried to begin the show, he started to introduce the panel. First, he was going to introduce David Dreyer, Nazi California. But apparently, all three walked out at the same time. So as he's getting ready to introduce Dreyer, here comes this tsunami of applause from the crowd. Maher had to stop talking. Check this out. Check out this respect Michael Moore has with the Democrats now.
All right. First up, he chairs. I knew we had a rock star in the house. I didn't know it was you.
And then here came Dreyer with his filthy fascist lies.
The war in Iraq. Are we or are we not going to provide support for our troops? And the line that, you know, we've heard over and over again, I voted for the $87 billion before I voted against it. You know, changing overnight.
But that's because the bill changed.
That was a pretty good comeback from Bill Maher against that David Dreyer. I thought he handled it real well. But Randy Rhodes had a sharper attack to that idiot's question when she says, hey, dude, how is it possible to vote against and for Bill? Can you explain to me how that's possible? How can you vote for a bill and vote against the bill? How is that possible? And that forces you to think, duh, there was two bills. And that's what Bill Maher was saying. The bill changed. And Kerry and the Democrats are so inept, they can't figure out a way. Funny, Randy Rose didn't have a problem. Bill Maher didn't have a problem explaining it. I often don't have a problem explaining it. But the Democrats and John Kerry, they're so helpless. Why are they so helpless? They're unable to defend themselves. They're in a boxing match with their hands tied behind their back. And they just get beat to hell every time. But if they would uncuff themselves and throw a punch or two, they could win. How many times have you heard me say, I could beat up Mike Tyson if he never threw a return punch? If he just stood there and let me beat him in the face, it would take 200-300 punches, but I predict eventually he would go down. So why should I be able to beat up Mike Tyson? Well, it's because Mike doesn't fight back. Well, that's how we're losing this fight to the Republicans. If we refuse to fight back, they're going to kick our ass. What's wrong with our party?
Question was, were you going to provide support or were you not going to provide support?
That is a bald-faced lie by a Nazi pig, David Dreyer, California. That was never the question. Well, I'm sorry, it was the question previously. That wasn't the question on the floor at the time. When they said, are we going to provide support or not, John Kerry voted yes. And then he said, well, let's take the money from the poor. And John Kerry said, no, let's take it from the rich. And he said, no, we're going to take it from the poor. And John Kerry said, that's stupid. Why don't we take the money from the billionaires who can't spend all the money they have? Their grandchildren won't be able to spend all the money they have in 50 years. Why don't we take it from them? And Bush said, no, we're going to take it from the poor. And that's how it's going to be. Or you can vote against it. Kerry said, fine, I'll vote against it. But that Nazi from California refused to tell you the truth. Why can't they tell the truth? Because the truth won't serve them. They have to tell a lie because the truth is on our side. They're allergic to the truth. If they get near the truth, they break out in fucking hives.
At least the Democrats keep it real in their convention. They put on the people who are their party. They're putting on Ted Kennedy. They're putting on Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton. You don't get that from the Republican Party.
Well, but they're not Republicans.
You know, Larry King has said a whole lot of stupid things over the years, but did that little phrase there just take the cake? Did he just explain to Bill Maher that Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton and Ted Kennedy were not Republicans? Did he really do that? Can Larry King be that stupid? Can Larry King be the listener, the interviewer, the great communicator that they say he is and have no idea where Bill Maher was going with that? He had no idea what Bill Maher was saying. Didn't he even try to listen? Is there anyone on the planet that thinks the Clintons and the Kennedys are Republicans? Larry, can you be that stupid? Can you, Larry? Can you be that stupid? Since that can't be possible, let's listen to it one more time and be sure.
You don't get that from the Republican Party.
Well, but they're not Republicans.
Yeah, some bitch really did say it.
Who do you want?
Yeah, but the Republican Party does not put on who they are. Those are the people who the Democrats are.
Who does the Republican Party?
They don't put on John Ashcroft. They don't put on Tom DeLay. They don't put on the mean side of the Republican Party, the Dick Cheney side, the real George Bush side. They put on Arnold Schwarzenegger. He doesn't represent what the Republican Party is really going towards.
Giuliani,
and Chaka Khan. You know, that's not the Republican Party. They put on a fake Potemkin Village version of the Republican Party. At least the Democrats are the Democrats.
You know, I always hate it when someone picks half or one side of an argument and fails to look at the other half. If I'm guilty of that, I wish somebody would call me on it because I don't think I do that. But I want to read you a little thing here. Just blowing in the wind, today's artists fail as social commentators, by Gary Andrew Poole, who's a Republican. In a now-famous Las Vegas concert, Linda Ronstadt made favorable comments about Michael Moore's F-9-11, and half the audience of 4,500 left in protest. Objection. Where did you get your figures? If you were there and you saw it, maybe we'll believe you. We'll know you're a Republican. But the idea that half the people... It was the last song. Yeah, of course people are going to leave. It's the end of the last song. You think they're going to spend the night in the concert hall? That was the whole thing. She announces this is the last song. She starts singing Desperado. And eventually, the place started to clear out. Hey, I can understand that. Soon afterwards, oh, and also says they left in protest, as though he could read the minds of 4,500 people. Isn't that amazing? They didn't want to go back and gamble. They didn't want to go back to the room and get a little sum. Hey, honey, if I take you to the Linda Ronstadt concert, can I have some tonight? No, it was none of that. This guy read the minds of everyone in the building. Although the new owners of the casino have invited Ronstadt back to sing with Moore, the controversy points to a change in the entertainment industry during the past decade. The shift is reflected in political pundit Laura Ingraham's comment and book that implores entertainers to just shut up and sing. Objection. Did she say Lee Greenwood, shut up and sing? No, that's okay because he's pro-Bush. Did she say Toby Keith, shut up and sing? No, that's okay, because he's pro-Bush. It's only the people who want fewer dead soldiers that are the bad people here. If you want more dead soldiers, then you're patriotic, and you have a right to speak. Again, why is it that a performer has less business speaking out than a plumber? Did anyone tell the plumbers to just shut up and plumb? Did anyone tell the electricians to just shut up and run the electrical lines? Did anyone tell the street sweepers to just shut up and sweep? No. In America, well, at least we used to have the right to criticize, but I guess that's left since God is in the White House. So this whack job goes on. The popular view is not always the right one. Oh, listen to this. I guess that's a concession that the majority is against Bush. Questioning authority goes back to the days of Woody Guthrie. Hey, dude, I got a feeling it goes back farther than Woody Guthrie. Is becoming a lost tradition among popular American musicians. Millions of people are against the Iraq War, but as Elton John told Interview Magazine, there's an atmosphere of fear in America right now that is deadly. Everyone, meaning entertainers, is too career conscious. Perhaps one of the reasons there is no popular anti-war song. A couple artists, including Lenny Kravitz, have released peace songs, but they don't get much airtime. Well, I'm not aware of a Lenny Kravitz song that's a peace song. And God knows, like Paul McCartney's Freedom, Freedom. Yeah, that was a hell of an anthem. We all were just itching to rally around that. Remember, he goes on, in March 2002, when the Dixie Chicks told a sympathetic London audience that they were embarrassed that the president was from Texas. Yes, we remember that. The comments were relayed to America, and the trio experienced widespread public condemnation. That is a lie. The right-wing whores of the press made a big deal out of it. They sold out every seat of every tour they had that year. Remember, they came back from London, went right to tour, and they sold out every single seat. Little sidebar here. Do you remember what Clear Channel did? You know, Clear Channel's got a foot in every city. So what they would do when the Dixie Chicks came to their town, they would send one of their reporters down there, and he would come back saying, oh, there was widespread booing when the Dixie Chicks... Yeah, why don't you play the tape of the widespread booing? You know, can you go anywhere in this world? If you go to a Bush speech, you're going to hear booing. But if you're not standing next to the guy booing, you're not going to hear it. So it's real easy for these reporters, close quotes, to come back and say, yes, there was booing. What, do you got 15,000 people at the concert? What, did six of them boo? So you come back with a headline, Dixie Chicks booed. This is what happens when too much power gets into too few hands. Don't tell us what the big backlash is. Then he says, media backlash. The Dixie Chicks music was boycotted by many radio stations and landslide. Their hit at the time went on a landslide, dropping from Billboard's number 7 to number 43 a few weeks after the concert. They got boycotted at many radio stations, that's true, because Clear Channel owns half or more than half of the radio stations in the country. And when one guy is a friend of the president's and has that much power that he can make or break careers because he doesn't like somebody, what if I owned all the radio stations and I don't like country music? So country music no longer is played in America. Is that what you want, you yahoos? No, you don't have the brains to know what your side needs. It's like those religious people. They're so eager to get church involved with state, and then next time a radical atheist becomes king, now he's going to ban all religions. That's exactly what you just asked for. You people, you're not smart enough to know what you want. Continuing on, musicians such as Bruce Springsteen and Pearl Jam are already drawing some criticism for the recently announced Vote for Change concert aimed at unseating Bush. Well, from whom are they getting the criticism? You and Laura Ingraham? Some artists do not question authority, they revel in it. Country giant, oh now he's a giant, Toby Keith, has the American flag printed on his guitar and sings about soldiers doing their duty. Hey, their duty is not dying, Toby. His anthems contain jingoistic lyrics such as, "This big dog will fight when you rattle his cage and you'll be sorry that messed with." Does messed with rhyme with cage? The U.S. of A, because we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. Don't listen to this bullshit. Obviously, Keith is not the most subtle lyricist, but he's not in line for a foreign diplomacy appointment. But he carries a nationalistic tradition. He carries a nationalistic tradition of flag-waving patriotism, and he has his fans. Oh, we get it. He has his fans because he's pro-Bush. But Bruce Springsteen and Pearl Jam have their detractors. Isn't it amazing that the guy on Bush's side has fans and the rock and rollers, they have trouble? Isn't that amazing? If artists want to have a political voice, unlike Linda Ronstadt, not be shouted off the stage, they need to reassess their purpose. What the hell does that mean? You're going to do a show or you're not going to do a show? If they want respect, they need to earn respect. They need to question their motivation for making music, for making art. It is the poet's privilege to help man endure by lifting his heart, by reminding him of the courage and honor and hope and pride and compassion and pity and sacrifice. Yeah, 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 said William Faulkner. If modern artists take this burden upon themselves of writing about the entire human condition, not just sugary love songs and the melodrama of teen angst, the result will be more interesting and thought-provoking art. And the debate the music brings to the marketplace of ideas will only help our society. We were just against all that. Now at the very end, you turn around and say they need to do more of that. Well, you're some kind of bullshit artist, aren't you, Gary Andrew Poole? You just love your Bush, and you don't care what kind of logic stands in your way.
Gay marriage is going to be an issue in the election.
They're making it an issue. I mean, that's another perfect example of religion making something that makes absolutely no sense into an issue. To a rational person, anyone with eyes can see God, and I believe in God or a higher being. I just don't believe in the people who pretend they're talking for him. They can see that God or nature created in nature, even in the animal world, a gay minority. It's just a fact. For some reason, God wanted a gay minority among us. Maybe it's because we're too aggressive and gays are less aggressive. Although not at the Ramrod on Saturday night.
Don't you hate it? The way the Republicans always try to pretend they're for less government. If I had a staff, hell, if I had 2 hours, I could probably give you 10 good examples of the Republicans wanting more and more government at any cost. Bigger government, more intrusion, step harder on the throat of the little guy, force them into some kind of conformity, don't allow any individualism, force each state to do it Washington's way. This is how the Republican Party is, and they always pretend they're not. Example number 209. Oregon suicide law passes court muster. A federal appeals court in San Francisco. A federal appeals court in San Francisco declined to reconsider its decision to uphold Oregon's assisted suicide law. The court, in a decision made last week and released Monday, rejected a request from the Bush administration to dump the law, which allows doctors to help hasten the death of patients. Now check that out. You got a guy who's not ever coming back. He's lived 99% of his life. He might have another 3 months to go, but it's going to be constant agony, or they're going to have to give him so many drugs that he's unconscious anyway. I'm not sure there's a big difference there. But think about the Bush administration jumping in between you and your doctor, forcing you to go through extra pain just so they, I guess, is another please the invisible clown being. I mean, financially, you know, Galbraith and Keynes, they don't mind, I'd assume they don't have big opinions on assisted suicide. This has to be a religious issue if it's not an economic issue, we'll say. So why is it in the Bush family's interest to prevent people from getting pain relief in their final hours? Because it's this whole invisible God business. They're trying to appease the insane people. Somewhere on here, I hope I get it done in time. It was done very well. There's a lot of Bill Maher. I play on a lot of Bill Maher in this issue. And he was on Larry King a couple of weeks ago. I taped it. I just now found the tape. I got a big stack I'm going through. But almost everything Bill Maher said was done very, very well. He said, Larry, he's on Larry 8 Kings there, 8 Wives. He says, Larry, we're all in the giant boat. And the Democrats and the scientists and the logic people, they want to steer the boat with the compass. And what the Republicans want to do, the insane religious crazies, what they want to do is strangle a chicken and cut up its entrails and read the entrails to see which way to go. Now think how much sense that makes. Why would you want to use a compass when old Billy Goat here can be cut up and we'll read the feathers or however that works? I don't know. I've never been a practitioner of the religiously insane, but he has a great point that makes all the sense in the world. I'm always talking about pick science and logic over this religious extremism and this voodoo bullshit. But, no, you know, apparently I'm not using as effective words as Bill Maher, but the idea, do you want to use a compass or do you want to strangle a chicken? How do you want to decide how we're going to get through these waters? You know, we've got, like anything, you're in a boat, you got rocky shores, you got waterfalls, you got this and that you got to watch out for, and it would be nice to have a compass that would logically and reliably tell you what to do. You must turn here, you must turn right there. The compass says so. But the idiots in the Republican Party, they want to do the chicken route. And if somebody would just explain it, if John Kerry were to say something like that to the voter, when it comes to stem cell research, Bush wants to do it, he wants to do it the cut-up chicken way. I want to do it the science and logic way. Science says they can do this. Science says they can cure Ronald Reagan, say he said this a year ago. Science can cure this. Science can cure that. But Bush is standing in the way for no logical reason. The only thing that prevents Bush from allowing these people to be cured is his superstition and his wanting to get votes from the other superstitious people who, by definition, are rejecting science and logic and therefore are insane. They can't be trusted. If you want to do, you know, if you want to handle a rattlesnake, fine. But you can't be president and be pro-rattlesnake handling. That's just the way it ought to be. If you want that kind of religious freedom, go to Oklahoma. Live out in the woods. Handle the snakes. Fight your cocks. Do whatever those insane people do in Oklahoma. It's as logical as letting a pilot fly the plane. You got a fellow that mows the lawn, and you got a pilot. And you got to pick one of them to fly the plane because the original pilot, you know, he passed out. So it's just so logical and scientific to go with the guy with the training. But no, Elmer, you know, what if the guy that knows how to pilot, what if he's a Negro? We can't let some Negro land a plane. We got to have the white guy in there. That's how the Republicans would choose. They don't want to go with the science and logic. They want to go with the insane. And when it affects people's lives, someone ought to draw the line. Too bad we don't have a political party in this country that believes in that. Let me see if we can close out the story here. A three-judge panel ruled in May that Attorney General John Ashcroft cannot hold Oregon doctors criminally liable. He wants to put these guys in jail. Someone that you've, say, you know, a doctor could easily have been treating some guy 30, 40 years. Say it's an old doctor, 70 years old. young cancer patient, 35. He's in his final, you know, he was there. He gave the man birth, whatever the phrase is. He brought the little man, he brought the little baby into the world. 35 years later, that same baby now is cancer riddled and dying and all that. And he wants to help this, you know, he brought this being into the world. He wants to help the being leave the world with some dignity and without a lot of pain. And there's John Ashcroft standing there snarling at him. You son of a bitch, you do that, we're going to throw you in prison. Don't you dare help that man. Oh, what a bunch of evil bastards this Republican Party is. They ruled that John Ashcroft cannot hold Oregon doctors criminally liable for prescribing overdoses under the Death with Dignity Act. Now, see, the people of Oregon spoke. This is what they wanted. They got together. They, I assume, debated it, and they came up with an answer. Yes, we in Oregon decide that you should be allowed to take your own life into your hands when drastic measures are called for. And here's Bush and Ashcroft running out there. Don't you dare. You're going to do it my way. Don't you dare. Who believes how evil these sons of bitches are? If they were just bank robbers, if they were just kidnappers, they would have so much more respect and dignity. But no, for them to run out there, some guy in San Francisco got a marijuana stick in his mouth because he can't keep his food down, and these sons of bitches go out there with guns and handcuffs and book these people into jail, throw them in a cage because he wanted to keep his food down? Fuck you, John Ashcroft. How dare you try to do that? Where are the Democrats? Why doesn't someone tell him to go straight to hell? Granted, we got a chance in November. Can we depend on the A, the voter, and B, the Democrats to fight? If they would just fight back just a little bit, am I asking too much? Since 1998, at least 171 people have used the law to end their lives, according to state records, most suffered from cancer. Well, yeah, obviously, you're not going to ask the doctor to prescribe you an overdose if you're about to get hit by a truck. So, yeah, it kind of makes sense that it's long-term things that are going to need to help. But, oh, if we could just get a Democrat, think how different this country would be if we could get a couple of Democrats to stand up and say, let's use the compass instead of killing the chicken. Is that not a really good analogy there? Let's use the compass to guide our way instead of killing a chicken.
I call upon all nations to do everything they can to stop these terrorist killers. Thank you. Now watch this drive.
Now it's everybody's favorite subject. It's Tiger Wu. It's Mr. Perfect. It's Eldrick. Eldrick the Black Golfer. Check this out. This just should make you gag and then spit. Eldrick ties Norman's record for weeks at number one. Tiger Woods matched Greg Norman's record for total weeks, 331, as the world's number one golfer Monday. This is a week ago. Woods will break the mark if he's able to hang on to the top spot after this weekend's PGA, but Ernie Els could take over the lead. Here's the scenario for Els to move to number one. He wins the PGA Championship, and Woods finishes in a three-way tie for second. Oh, please. Woods couldn't finish in a 15-way tie for second. He finishes second alone, and Woods finishes 16th alone. Woods couldn't finish 16th if his life depended on it. He finishes in a two-way tie for second. Woods misses the cut, and Vijay Singh does not win. Well, Eldrick came in tied for 24th, and I think the next slot was like 34th, so arguably he came in 33rd. The 33rd golfer is the greatest in the world. He hasn't won anything major, at least, since 2002. But for the rest of 2002 and all through 2003 and so far all through 2004, Eldrick the Perfect is the greatest golfer in the world, even though he can't get in the top 20 in any tournament this year or last year, but he's still the greatest. They just need to overhaul this. This is like boxing. This is just like boxing, to where you give Don King $25,000 or $50,000 and suddenly your fighter's ranked second. Buick and the PGA and the advertisers and Chevrolet and everybody got together and said, Tiger's good for golf. Let's pretend he's number one. So that's what they did. They all got together with this funny-ass formula to make the perennial loser the greatest golfer in the world for 331 weeks now. That is a joke, and I think the people are starting to see it. When he lost his last tournament, the PGA, I think it was, they said how sad it was that Tiger would walk along the fairway and he'd look up at the leaderboard and he wouldn't see his name, and he would remember back in the old days when he used to have a chance at winning, but now he has no chance. Oh, another thing, Tiger has apparently the worst mouth on the whole tour. He's getting ready to hit a ball, and a photographer snapped his picture. Oh, the gall of some photographer. In the newspaper, it said, Tiger said, great fucking contact, but they had to pull the F word out of the newspaper because the children might read it. Wouldn't want the children to know there's a word that begins with F in this country. No, they ain't never heard that before, not them kids. But Tiger, whenever he misses, it's either the weather or the photographer or the caddy gave him the wrong putter. He's always got an excuse. He must be a liberal. He's always got an excuse. Well, no, he's not a liberal. He's got too damn much money and he loves Rush. I think it's pretty obvious we've got massive corruption in professional golf. I think Ashcroft ought to look into it because there's millions and millions, maybe tens of millions. I don't know. Is golf big? Is golf got $100 million when you include everything for the whole year? Probably not. It's not that big a sport, but with millions involved, and we know it's being run by crooked people if they say Tiger's the greatest golfer for 332 weeks in a row now, please. This is a scam. People are falling for it. All it is a way to lie to make more money. There's a word for that, but I can't remember what it is.
Today's media crime was committed by CNN's Candy Crowley. Now, I've said before that Candy Crowley would like to do for George what Monica did for Bill. Period. I remember during the campaign in 2000 when Candy hauled her hefty bulk down to the ranch or wherever the hell Bush was campaigning from. And Candy would stand outside the fence almost every day with these breathless reports on the stupidest man in America. She's the first news reporter for CNN that I'm aware of who allowed, a matter of fact, promoted her personal point of view in her newscasts. I don't like her. Anyway, today, Candy Crowley demonstrates how desperate the Republicans and their shills in media are getting where it concerns John Kerry. Today, Candy Crowley accused Kerry of a major faux pas, and I'm not making this up, for a year ago when he was in Philadelphia, he ordered a cheesesteak with Swiss cheese on it. He did. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, Malloy, lighten up. Candy Crowley was just, it was slow news day. She's just making a joke. No, it's not a slow news day. A. B. This is Candy Crowley. Hi, George. Anything I can do for you today? So last year, John Kerry goes to Philadelphia and orders a cheesesteak and says, can I have Swiss cheese on that, please? Here's what Crowley said, quote, "We want to begin this story about a year ago when John Kerry went to Philadelphia in a famous cheesesteak place called Pat's. There he ordered, of course, a cheesesteak, but he ordered it with Swiss cheese. That's kind of a food faux pas in Philadelphia. You're supposed..." Wait a minute. Faux pas. Isn't that French? Candy Crowley is dropping French phrases into her... "That's kind of a food faux pas in Philadelphia. You're supposed to order it with cheese whiz. Maybe American, but Swiss cheese? Definitely a faux pas." There were also complaints at the time that John Kerry took dainty bites of his Philadelphia cheesesteak. Now, if there's one thing Candy Crowley knows not, it's dainty bites.
Bart Cop. He's better than a sharp stick in the ear.